Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
The Growing in Grace podcast with Mike and Joel. I'm Mike. He's Joel. How are you doing, Mr. Joel?
I'm just fine. Just fine and dandy. I've got all, I'm prayed up. I got all my works done for the week. I've made sure I've hedged all my bets. I'm trusting in the sacrifice of Christ, and I'm also doing the stuff and making sure that everything, you know, I got all my eggs in different baskets, and so...
So
just to make sure that I'm saved.
When you said you prayed up, I haven't heard that one for a while. And that took me back. And it kind of reminded me of filling up the tank. We were talking about you filling up gas a couple programs ago.
Yeah,
praying would fill up your tank. and we were also talking about a couple of programs ago about the guy who would ask how my walk was going.
Yeah.
You know, how's your walk? Well, I was at the eye doctor this week. And they came to get me, and they were going to, you know, walk me back to whatever room I needed to go to. So and I've had this happen before, but they'd say, Mike, yes, walk this way. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Igor from Young Frankenstein.
I knew that's where you were going. Yeah. Walk this way.
He would you know, walk weird because he had a bad leg or something. Uh-huh. And then whoever he said walk this way, then they would walk the same way he walked. Yeah. So I always thought it'd be pretty cool to work in a place like that where I could say that, and I could walk like Igor and see if they would do it. But
yeah.
That's the way Christianity has been, Joel, don't you think? I mean, sometimes you get involved in a church and they start telling you how to walk.
Yeah. Well, I was going to, the last 2 years I've seen an eye doctor, and if they were to tell me to walk this way, I wouldn't know how to do it because I've actually never seen my eye doctor because they've got my eyes so dilated by the time I get to them, I can't see what I'm even doing. So two and a half years ago, I was diagnosed with this thing called sarcoidosis, and it might be affecting one of my eyes, and so I have to go to the doctor every year, and so the first thing they do is they get me in there and they stick this stuff in my eyes and get me so dilated. So then when they lead me down the hallway to go into the other room to see the doctor, I cannot see where I'm going. They literally have to guide me because without my glasses on, without my contacts in, I can't see anything. And so the doctor comes in. I really have no clue what he looks like because I can't see the guy. And so I'm literally walking by faith. I'm literally following the guidance of somebody else because I can't do it myself. And I guess, you know, that kind of goes along with, you know, the way that we live this life in Christ, because I could say, hold on a second, I need to get my glasses, hold on, I need to put my contacts back in, but you can't do that. I'm kind of forced to just go down the hallway blind, in a sense, being led by somebody else. And that, to me, in a sense, is a metaphor for how there's nothing I can do. I mean, obviously, I'm using the power of my own legs and all that stuff, but I really can't see. In fact, I walked by both years, last year and this year. I thought, out of the blurriness of my vision, I walked by this young man, and I thought it was my son. And I almost said, Jared, and I didn't. And then the same thing happened this year. Same guy walked past me in the hallway, and I just looked, no, that can't be him. But, so you think you kind of see things, but I don't know where I'm going with that, but it's a
walking
faith walk.
Walking by sight and not by faith.
Yeah. Right?
well, look, what you mentioned it a couple minutes ago, and kind of following up on some of the programs we've just done here over the last several weeks or more, this thing about faith and works. You know, I was taught, and some of the things that I was taught years ago, they weren't all bad, right? But one thing I was taught was that really faith and fear are opposites. And when I came into grace, somebody helped me begin to see some things that I hadn't seen before. And it's a mutual acquaintance of ours. And he kind of pointed out, really from the Bible, from a Bible perspective, that faith and works really are on opposing ends of the spectrum, whereas fear and love are more opposite.
Right.
And so on the subject of faith, salvation, and works, faith being alive or being dead, which also, although some don't want to admit it, also suggests that salvation is no longer alive, if faith is no longer alive, because we're not doing enough works. So if that's the case, where I want to go with this, Joel, is this. Let's look at this from an investment perspective. Let's tie this into it. Are we going to put our, you know, like when you're investing money, usually the wise counsel is to diversify. So you don't have all your eggs in one basket. You're not just investing in one particular sector, because if that sector struggles during a downtime in the economy, hopefully if you're diversified, you'll still maintain growth in your portfolio. So from a spiritual perspective, are we going to invest fully, put all our eggs into one basket, into the Jesus basket? Are we going to invest in him fully, put everything we've got into that? Or are we going to diversify by thinking we need to add something to what he did? And that was my life for more than a couple of decades.
Yeah.
I believed that we were saved as a gift, but it was kind of a hodgepodge for me, because I also felt like Jesus did his part. Now I need to do mine. He's expecting me to do my part. I need to add to what Jesus did through things that I do. And so that's what I did. And I, you know, it was, talk about your roller coaster Christianity again. I had those moments where it just wasn't so great, Joel, because, you know, when you were doing well, you felt like you were pretty high on the hog, as we say in Iowa. And then if things weren't going so well, or you didn't feel like you were keeping up with everything that you might maybe should have been doing, then you started questioning where you really stood with God. So where are we going with this? Are we going to invest in Jesus completely and fully, completely sold out, investing in what he did? Or do we feel like, to play it safe, that we need to do something to add to it?
Well, I like the term hodgepodge. So, like you just said that, and I haven't heard that in a long time. It's a mixture of different things, a hodgepodge. You know, I think that is what people, and maybe they don't even realize it, but that's maybe what they're putting their faith in, is a hodgepodge of things. Yes, I believe in Christ, thankful for his sacrifice and for saving me, but I see some things, and this is kind of goes back to where when we look at the Bible as everything in it is meant to be for us. Well, God required the people to do a bunch of works, and people might not even realize that it was the old covenant. It was the law that doesn't apply to us, but there are things that we're supposed to do, and so I better also be making sure, or at least be trying to do some stuff, to do enough things, and really, as we've talked about before, what is that line? How much is enough? But I think maybe subconsciously or somehow people do diversify, like what you were talking about. You know, like for work, I have a 403b instead of a 401k. It's basically the same thing as a 401k, but for a nonprofit. I work for a nonprofit hospital, and so I have some of my retirement funds going to the 403b, some going to an IRA, and some saving, you know, this type. Some people put their money in gold. Some people invest in gold. Some people invest in this, that, and the other thing. And that, in that sense, in an investment sense, that's probably a good thing because something could go wrong, or you know, you could lose big in one area, but yet you've got, you know, some diversity. But when it comes to Christ, is not that basket of eggs safe? Is he not safe enough? Do I trust in the sacrifice of Christ for my eternity? The death and resurrection of Jesus? Do I trust in him? Or do I trust in him, but also make sure I've got, well, I got some eggs in this other basket. I've got, you know, I got some works that I'm working on. I got some things that I'm trying to do to stay saved or to continue to be justified. Or like the Galatians, you know, they had some people coming along saying, yeah, you put your faith in Christ. But at the same time, you're also going to have to do some works of the law to further justify yourself. And so people are tempted to do those things, it ends up taking away from really the simplicity of the gospel, the simple fact that Christ's work was enough. I think that people have this idea that their works, they need to add some peas and carrots in there. They need to add some other things in there. I call it hedging your bet. A lot of people hedge their bet. I looked up Google AI. Hedging a bet is a strategy to limit risk by placing a bet on a different outcome after the first one has been made. So to relate it to this, you know, you've made your first bet, so to speak. You've trusted in Jesus, but now you're also going to place your bets on something else too, just in case. I want to make sure that I get a good outcome, and so I'm going to add some works in there. I'm going to add this or that to it, and you've really taken you want to spread the risk out, but really, is Christ not enough? I mean, that's really what we got to ask ourselves when we start relying upon anything else other than what Christ did.
Yeah, because like I said, Joel, for me, I guess I just had it in my head that Jesus did so much. He died. He rose. He did what he did. He came to save. And it's almost as if he was handing off the baton to me.
Yeah.
Now, you go and do whatever, and you finish the race. And that just put a lot of pressure on me, of course, because I didn't really know, as we talked about in recent programs, I don't think I really knew specifically what I was supposed to do. I just thought, I'm going to try and do as much as I can of what I think I'm supposed to be doing and hope it's enough. That's just not a great place to be. But being secure in that Jesus did it all, there's no reason for spiritual diversification.
Right.
There's just no reason for that, because Jesus paid he counted the cost, he paid the price, he redeemed people from a helpless and hopeless situation, and it was enough. It was complete. It was finished. If it wasn't, then, like we mentioned recently, it really isn't any different than what the Jews had under a law that could not save them or bring them righteousness.
Right. Nothing else. So you sang last time, I'm going to sing. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, now tell me what to do. I just changed the lyrics of that song. Lord, give me the stuff to do. As if that stuff was not enough. You know, what Christ did. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. People will sing all that stuff, but then they'll say, I need to do something. It's almost as if what Christ did was really not enough. But I think that's what we're really trying to point out, is that he did, like you said, he did count the cost himself. If anyone else would have tried to count the cost for our salvation, nobody could have paid the price. Nobody else took up the cross. He did. Jesus Christ took up the cross. We couldn't do that. I know that even in gray circles, we've kind of tried to Christianize that as if, you know, we take up our cross by dying and then being, you know, raised again with him. But really, we didn't take up a cross. Jesus is the only one who took up the cross and paid the price. We died with him. But it wasn't something that we did. It was something that he did. He counted the cost. He paid the price. He rose again from the dead and brought us into that resurrected life with him. We were raised together with him. And so we can lift his name on high, which is how that lyric really goes. Lord, I lift your name on high. We can lift his name on high as opposed to thinking that there's stuff that we have to add to what he did. And again, instead of trying to diversify our investments, instead of hedging our bets, it is all one basket. And the eggs are safe in that basket because they're safe in his hands. He's carrying the basket, so to speak, using these metaphors, and it's all completely 100% safe with him.
We can wrap up with a post I saw a while ago from somebody, and he says this: the overarching message of the Bible isn't about our work, it's about his. And because his work is finished, we can rest. That's the point, freedom. Spiritual growth doesn't start with what do I need to do now? It starts with what has he already done for me? The gospel is not a call to get busy, but it's an announcement that we can finally breathe. Seminary teaches the end goal of preaching was application leading to holier behavior. The gospel tells me the end goal is rest. And then he closes with this from a theologian. He asked the only real post-sermon question worth asking. So what are you going to do now that you don't have to do anything? And that's where we are in Jesus Christ, who did all that was necessary to bring us back to God and make us alive in him.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.